When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his own sweet song. Wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy, what if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Arrived in SC7 with a 100% record on the road this season, but a combination of Stuart Dallas's fire and Macaulay Bond's arse soon put that to bed. Welcome to Charlton Live. So a very good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live, coming to you live here from the Valley in SC7. My name is Louis Mendez, joining me in the studio to look back at yesterday's superb 1-0 victory over Leeds United. It's a packed studio. We've got Tom Wallin on my left, back from holiday. How you doing, Tom?
Yeah, good, mate.
Yeah, you looking well?
Thank you. Yeah.
Did you have a nice holiday?
It was nice. It's good to be back yesterday then.
That's what it's all about, coming back and seeing us beaten Leeds United. Also joining us here, Mr. Terry Smith, heading to help.
Unsurprisingly, bloody marvellous.
Yeah, it's nice. Yeah.
And, well, you said arse, so I can say bloody.
I was going to say, two swear words in 3 minutes.
Nathan will be chomping in a bit
Nathan's going to be like flying back as soon as possible to get in. And you've already heard her there making her first appearance of the season, the first lady of Charlton Live. It's Sue Gallop. How you doing, Sue?
I'm really good. Yeah. I'm really excited. Yeah. Feel good to be here.
Yeah, good to see you. Enjoy it yesterday?
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, loved it.
I hear you was quaffing prawn sandwiches.
Yeah, yeah. Weirdly, and a lot of people messaged me about it. They thought it was a fix that I'd won two tickets in the Valley Gold Box. In the Valley Gold Box. And I was like, well, I've been in Valley Gold for about 10 years and I've never won anything. Mm. It's the first time I've ever won anything.
That's because they have to give it... They have to give it a bit of a run-up before they let the fix happen, otherwise it's too
obvious. Yeah, that's true, that's true, yeah.
On tonight's show, we are going to be looking back at a famous 1-0 victory over Leeds United here. I'm sure we'll have a debate over who scored the goal in a few moments' time. We'll hear the highlights. We'll hear from Lee Bayer, the Addicts boss. We want to hear from you guys as well. Let us know what you thought of yesterday's performance, who stood out for you, what made you pleased when you were leaving the Valley. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Life Forum to have your say on this evening's show. Later on, we're also going to hear from a young fan called Lewis Kensley. He's going to be joining Lyle Taylor in dyeing his hair pink for the entire month of October. So he's telling me all about that on the show later this evening. So just before we dive into the highlights, Tom, you've been away for a few weeks, so you missed the bad bits and you came back to a quite impressive display.
Glory boy.
No, I was here for Birmingham and then listened to the Wigan game whilst I was away. And obviously you lose those two games and you think with the run we had coming up, maybe we're going to lose four or five in a row. And then, I mean, it's going to drop us down the league a little bit and you think maybe that's where we're expected to be. And I think, I can't remember if it was Lewis mentioned it on Thursday's show, that it was a bit of a free hit, really. We'll just go, and if we get anything out of this game, then great. And if we don't, then it's kind of what we expected. I said to you guys just off air that got my girlfriend to come along and said, you know, we'll probably be 2-0 down, 3-0 down, half hour in. We can just, you know, relax, just enjoy watching some football. But
enlivening conversation.
So about 70 minutes in, she said, well, this is not what I signed up for, me tearing my hair out, biting my nails. But yeah, we played really well, similar to the Brentford game. We were put under a lot of pressure a lot of the time, but they had a couple of chances towards the end, and Dylan Phillips made a couple of good saves, but we went toe-to-toe with them. We did what Bowyer said we were going to do. We weren't overawed by them at all. They still missed that cutting edge, which I think their fans said as well, and got a goal and a good win to get us kind of back on the winning streak, hopefully.
You can see, Terry, that they are a good team, and you can see that they move the ball around nicely. They did put us under pressure at times, but, you know, we found ways to beat teams a lot this season. And Lee Bowyer found the way yesterday.
I think very cleverly as well, because it looked at times we were chasing shadows, but it seemed, I'm not sure this is going to sound like it makes any sense at all, because it doesn't to me anyway.
Sorry, we're used to
that. It didn't to me yesterday, no, I know. But it seemed like that the midfield were chasing shadows, but when they eventually got past us, that midfield, the back four were solid as a rock. And that was helped out by the two strikers coming back as well. Not two strikers, but, you know, Lecco and Macaulay Bond coming back and chasing shadows as well, probably. But it just seemed like we were keeping them at bay purely by the fact that although they were moving us about a lot, at no point did they get behind us. Or it didn't seem to be. And when they did eventually, they had no real cutting edge up front. I think Tom just mentioned it. I don't know how much Bamford cost, but it was too much.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's clearly very good at kicking.
Well, I mean, yeah, static legs, no problem at all.
Yeah,
moving ball, bit of a problem.
And so, if it is a goal for Macaulay Bond, there's no better way to mark your debut. If it isn't a goal, he still played pretty well. So, I mean, I am going to take it away from him on the show tonight. But he played well, and considering the situation he's found himself in, where he's come in as a player from the National League, hasn't had many starts yet. In fact, this was indeed his first start, hasn't had many minutes in Championship football. To be sort of thrown in very much at the deep end like that yesterday, he did so well.
Yeah, I think that sort of game, being chucked into that sort of game, it's either going to make you or break you, isn't it? And we've seen that go horribly wrong in the past with players that have not been up to it. And I think, I mean, yeah, there were mistakes, but at the same time, you couldn't have fault his effort. You couldn't have fault, like, just, he was just everywhere. He just seemed to be everywhere. A bit like Conor Gallagher, like I was commenting after the game, that it's just, for someone, I know he's very young, but he's just got so much vision, and he'd be up front 1 minute and then he's back defending the next. And he's just, I think having the good mix that we've got now of like experience and youth, is I think the younger players are kind of feel like they've got nothing to lose, they're just gonna go for it and do their best, and luckily for us it's coming off really well. But I was really chuffed for him, because I'd heard a few sort of, oh god, he's starting, and even though no one had really seen him that much, it was still a bit, like you say, he's come up from the National League, that's a big jump. But I thought he'd done really, really well. And I'm looking forward to seeing him again, actually.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's have a listen to the commentary highlights from last night's game, or even yesterday's game, I should say. Your commentators are, of course, Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
So ricochet back to Phillips, who sends the ball forward and leads attack for the first time. And it's a ball through to Bamford. It's got on the wrong side of Lockyer, into the penalty area. Ball back across the middle. Oh, Naby Sarr somehow scuffs it away for a corner when it could quite easily have gone in the back of the net.
It's a low corner. It's a, oh, dear, oh, dear, it was
scuffed almost. I don't know, he didn't catch it right. I'm trying to see who that was. I think it was Dallas. It was a low corner that seemed to take everybody by surprise. Dallas got his foot to it. Dylan Phillips almost sort of unexpectedly had to scoop it around the post for another corner. But Charlton half ball forward to Bamford, who turns Prattley, edge of the penalty area. Good block by Naby Sarr. But Costa will pick it up for Leeds. I'll hand you over to Greg Stubley in a second. Costa infield to Klitsch. Klitsch sees the run of Dallas into the penalty area. It's a scuffed cross, but it'll run through to Elioski, who takes the shot. Oh, Naby Sarr with a block.
There's Jonathan Lecco.
Oh, it's Lecco back there.
Great defending. What's he doing? Phillips sends in the penalty area. It's come off Naby Sarr. Oh, Dylan Phillips with the save. Just deflected back off of Naby Sarr. And Phillips dives down to his left and clears. And Charlton win a throw halfway inside the half on the left-hand side. Brilliant save from Phillips.
Solid with the throw down the line. Comes off of Harrison. Comes to Williams. Good first touch. Williams under pressure from Phillips. Goes down the line to Bond. Bond looking to take on White. He's got no one for company. Bond still with it. And it's a challenge from White. And Charlton have the corner.
He did well there, Macaulay Bond. He had no help. He could have risked trying to outstrip White. Instead, just held the ball up and forced White into the tackle and concede this corner.
As Josh Cullen comes across the take, an opportunity for Charlton centre-halves to come up from the back. Naby Sarr, Lockyer striding forward with Darren Prattley, Conor Gallagher, and Charlton leaving just Chris Sully, Johnny Williams and Parrington outside the penalty area.
Leeds have everybody back.
As Josh Cullen prepares to take the corner, swings it in. Ooh. It's come towards Lockyer! Yeah! Come on! Tom Lockyer!
A superb corner from Josh Cullen. I was trying to see who just levered that Leeds player out of the way. I think it was Prattley who levered his man out of the way. Lockyer met it on the fall, and Leeds players seem to fall over like dominoes in the box. And Lockyer's, did that come back off Macaulay Bond? Off the
keeper? I think it did. It looks like Casilla kept it out, and it looked like it hit Macaulay Bond. Those who have the replays will be able to tell us for sure, but looking at the big screen, that could be Macaulay Bond's first Charlton goal.
I couldn't understand why it managed to squirm through, and I think I know now, because Casilla made the save and pushed it against the back of Macaulay Bond and back into the net.
Dylan Phillips takes the goal kick, and there is the half-time whistle. A proud first 45 minutes for Charlton. Referee blows his whistle. Sarr, his dummy, comes to Cullen instead. Cullen shoots. Oh, and the goalkeeper had a save to make. Diving to his left, but holds on nicely.
Yeah, I think that was suited for a left footer, so surprised it was left to Cullen, but he hit it well.
But Casillas was never going to lose that. Straight down his
wrist. It's a decent one. Costa turns and down the line to Dallas. Dallas, ball across goal. Prattley gets something on it.
Jeez.
And it goes wide. It just looped up of Prattley's shin. That is an important intervention, you have to say, with Leeds piling bodies behind him, but it could have gone anywhere.
Indeed it could have, and it looked like it was going into the top corner. It is so well down Prattley not to score there.
It's Prattley, good challenge. Really Bamford. Well there. And Bamford just takes out Gallagher. The fans around us aren't happy with that. And Lockyer certainly wasn't happy with that. And the referee's got to calm this down. It was a nasty, rash challenge from Bamford. A striker's challenge, if you want to use the cliche. But I don't think it's anything more than yellow card, if I'm honest.
I think Lockyer is convinced Bamford knew what he was doing as well, and I think that's what's upsetting more, that it wasn't just a rash challenge. He knew exactly what he was doing, and he did it to hurt Gallagher.
Bamford's been booked for that. And Lockyer might receive a yellow card for his reaction.
I think so. I mean, from a personal point of view, I like to see it, because opposition know they can't get away with stuff when you've got players on the pitch looking after each other.
Lockyer is booked for that reaction.
Still Lockyer. And Nketiah still trying to take on Lockyer. Lockyer forcing him out. Now chip ball across. Headed down by Cullen. And then it squirts through to Harrison on the edge of the penalty area. Little touch from Cullen. Klitsch draws it back in. Naby Sarr with a header up in the air. And Nketiah with a shot. Oh, just wide right at the post. He mishit it. Everybody just watched it in slow motion. And it just went wide of the right and upright.
Oh, my word. How have they not scored there?
Charlton never throw.
5 added minutes.
5 minutes of added time. Everybody virtually in the penalty area. As Phillips sends it in. So it's gone to Cooper in the edge of the box. Phillips. Oh, what a save from Stephen Phillips.
Phillips. That's a clearance.
I'm not sure how much he knew about it.
I think it's Sam Fields.
Sam Fields was there as well, putting his body on the line.
Everyone surrounding Sam Fields and slapping his head. Even Dylan Phillips. I imagine it might have been Fields who got the final contact.
It's
not
another
sure
corner.
I knew much about it.
As we're into the last minute. Corner comes in, similar position. Prattley with a header away, but Costa will keep it in for Leeds on this near side. Sends it back into the box. Dylan Phillips will grab it and fall to the floor with 40 seconds left of added time. Phillips prepares to launch this in to the edge of the penalty area. In it comes, and it bounces and straight through to Dylan Phillips. And then
yes!
And Sean! 3 points, a massive 3 points from the Addicts against top of the table Leeds. Bielsa and Lee Bowyer shake hands. Absolutely huge effort from Charlton.
Well, there you go. What a performance. What a dogged defensive display in that last, 88 minutes, I'd say.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, that was, it was similar to the Brentford game, but I don't know if I'm right in saying I felt more comfortable. I felt like, well, we know we've done it once before. I think we're going to do it again, Tom. And I mean, there was last ditch blocks like you'd expect. There was bodies on the line. There was headers when the ball was coming in. There was Phillips commanding his area when he needed to. There was everything that you need to beat a Leeds United team. And we had it in absolute bucket loads yesterday.
Yeah, we looked like a side that had done it already this season, because we had. And we looked like a side, and somebody asked Bowyer about it in a press conference yesterday, we looked like a side of Lee Bowyer's out there who just worked their asses off.
I'm not saying that again.
It's only me left to say swear words.
throw their bodies in the line, just get in front of the ball, do whatever they had to. But we shouldn't take away from the fact that when we did have the ball, and okay, it wasn't for a huge amount of the game, I think the possession stats tell that story, but when we did play our football, and we didn't just lump it long. Apart from the last 10-15 minutes, we weren't just lumping it long and waiting for them to come at us. We were getting the ball down. We were trying to play it out through the thirds. We were getting Williams and Gallagher and even Prattley on the ball as much as we could. Macaulay Bonn was holding it up well. So, you know, it's not like we had a lot of chances in the game. But as you said there, it was tense because we're playing a very, very good side. But I do think they lack that cutting edge. And as I said earlier, it's something that their fans have commented on for a few games now. And that did kind of give me a little bit more comfort, but until that whistle blew, I wasn't sure. But yeah, I thought it was a really, really good performance, and the sort of performance we're used to seeing from this team now.
Yeah, there were some nerves going into that last 15 minutes perhaps or so, when you know the game's going to get stretched, when we've heard all about Leeds' incredible levels of fitness. I mean, Jacob Peck tweets in, "Guys, can you alleviate my fears? Yesterday, Terry mentioned that Louis was visibly shaking with the intensity of it all on the commentary gantry yesterday. Can you now confirm that I am okay?" I mean, I was...
Well, he was physically shaking.
I feel like I shake with excitement at every Charlton game anyway.
I don't tend to watch you that often.
But I mean, I was feeling it every time the ball went through to Dylan Phillips, or every time a header cleared it away or it went out for a goal kick. I was, you know, punching the air because, we're a minute closer. It was a little bit like that towards the end, but you know what to, like I said with Tom, we know what to expect now from this lot.
I think it was more to do with the fact that I was nervous about us making a mistake rather than Leeds scoring. I'm not sure that makes sense, but they didn't look like they were going to trouble us that much, so I thought it might be, because we'd already seen Naby Sarr shin a couple just wide. How Darren Prattley never scored an own goal, I have no idea. But it was our day, clearly.
Yeah. Well, we're just teasing
them. Well, obviously. But, you know, if you remember the Forest game where we absolutely battered them for I don't know how long, and then just one, I don't know what you call it, lapse of concentration, and they get an equaliser. And that, I think, is what I was worried about more than anything, that we'd make a mistake and let them back in because we'd only got the one goal. So that's what I was more nervous about, I think. And the relief at the end was the reason for that we'd held out. I shouldn't have doubted us. You know, we got a Welshman at the back, and look what they did to Australia today in the rugby. They know how to defend the Welsh.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Terry. I mean, we talk about that character, that fighting spirit. And as Tom mentioned, one of the questions in the press conference yesterday of Bowyer was, I felt like I was watching 11 Lee Bowyers out there. I mean, a manager often, like, his character can reflect in his team, and no more so than this current Charlton side, and the sort of passion you'd expect from a Lee Bowyer team.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's not just from Lee. I think it comes from Jacko and Andy Marshall. They're all pretty passionate football men, and as we know how much Jacko put into us when he was playing, and I think that's definitely carried into his coaching job. So I think when you've got players that clearly respect Bo, Jacko and Andy, that they look like they want to play for the shirt. And I think I was actually thinking about it last night. It was in the past when we've had loan players, you could see who the loan players were because it was very obvious because they wasn't really buying into the whole ethos and all of that. And I'm struggling now to remember actually who is on loan and who is Charlton players, if you want to say it that way, because they're all just fighting for each other and just digging in and getting the jobs done. So I think all credit to Bo and Jacko and Andy for sort of instilling that in all of them.
Now let's get down to the main sticking point from yesterday, which is the goal, Tom. So there we go. Right. So
I got it.
So
it's a bit rude. I wouldn't call you that, mate. But
no. the build up to the goal. It was a good move. Played Macaulay Bond into a little bit of space, and he did well actually again to hold it up to win the corner because there was not a single option in the middle of that penalty area for him. So he won the corner. I think it was Cullen who whipped it over, if I remember correctly. Yeah. And then, I mean, first of all, the desire from Tom Lockyer to be the man who won that volley, brilliant. Don't know what the goalkeeper's playing at, and I'm going to say this now, wasn't his best day. And he threw it against, I mean, it hit Stuart Dallas, didn't it? It's annoying because it takes away from the headlines of Macaulay Bongit's goal on championship debut, but I think it hit Stuart Dallas. Can anyone put me right? Ollie Groom is convinced it hit Macaulay Bond. He even sent me a video which he says, show me it hitting Macaulay Bond, and I watched that video and it's still hitting Stuart Dallas.
For me, it comes off Dallas. It's annoying that Bond's probably not going to get it for his stats, but I don't think that should take away from his performance at all, because and even for the goal itself, he had to be there to put Dallas under pressure to fall into it to knock it in. So, yes, he might not get it in the stats when he retires. It's not going to be a goal that goes down against his name. But do you know what? He was as involved as it was possible for a Charlton player to be in that goal. And he deserves a huge amount of credit for doing that, along with the rest of his performance. But yeah, I think I would probably be giving it to Dallas on the whole.
All we need is the slow-mo to show that even if it's like a stray split end from his head that it can touch before it hits Dallas, then we can claim it, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen the angle from the main TV camera. It looks like it's come off Macaulay Bond's back. But when you've got the camera that's pointing down directly above the goal in the Jimmy Seed end, I mean, physically it can't have hit anything other than Stuart Dallas. And that's a shame. But the only thing I will say is, I mean, I ain't going to go out of my way to start a campaign to take it off Macaulay Bond.
No. So I do wonder if there's how many, you know, the dubious goals committee, or do they still have one of those? Do they? Okay. What, even in the Championship?
Yeah, well, in fact, Ollie Groom's just texted me now. I told you he's got his own campaign. He says the goal has been given to Bond and it won't be changed. So thankfully, it is in the record books there as Bond's goal. So no matter what Tom's trying to say about it being Stuart Callis's goal,
damn it
is.
I was just going to ask.
Ollie says, stop ruining that.
The dubious goals committee, if they exist, they wouldn't have the same camera angles that we have seen. They'd only see one, wouldn't they? They wouldn't ask for GoPro and all that malarkey, would they?
No, but even on the Quest highlights, I think, wasn't it shown that it looked like it was coming off Dallas?
Then it wasn't a right close-up view that then you could say, you know, they couldn't magnify it to say, did it hit Macaulay Bond first, for example.
So, like I say, Ollie's saying that Macaulay's certainly claiming it.
It was a clear strike, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's 25-yard volley into the top bin. Yeah.
I think Tom Lockyer's a bit upset about it, to be honest.
Yeah, Tom Lockyer claims
he's gutted. Well,
I mean, it was that sort of game, Sue, where, I mean, we saw it last week, actually, up at Wigan, where set pieces. If it's going to be a game where perhaps you're not going to get too many chances, and Wigan didn't have many chances against us last week, you've got to make your set pieces count. And I think we scored from a few this season now. We certainly scored one at Blackburn on the opening day. And, you know, I talked about that desire. It's certainly not Lockyer's, according to Ollie Groom.
talk about that
desire for Lockyer to get onto that volley. Mm. I mean, it shows that we were determined to make those chances count.
Yeah, I think, as Bo said in his press stuff, is that a lot of work's been put in with Jacko and Andy in particular on the set pieces. And I must say, I haven't seen all the games, but I have seen quite a few of the games this season, and it's whenever we get a free kick or a corner, I'm actually like quite fancying us to score, because we look a lot more organised within those set plays, and teams are still don't seem to know what we're going to do, which is fantastic. Obviously, it's still set like fairly early doors in terms of the season, but if you've got people that are creative, like Jacko was as a player, and Andy as a goalkeeper, knowing how it feels to be on the other end of that and where goalkeepers will get caught out, I think that's going to be our strength this season.
I'll tell you the one thing is that, and I agree 100% with everything Sue's just said, when you've got Jacko, who was a master at arriving in the box to convert dead ball situations, but he was also fairly good at the dead ball himself, like free kicks. When you've got a player like Josh Cullen, who can seem to be able to put the ball wherever he wants, then you can instruct him to do these sort of things. When you haven't, and when, you know, we've had it in previous seasons where, you know, they've probably been instructed to put the ball somewhere, and then it's always gone to the near post and cleared away, or gone 20 yards too far over the crossbar. Do you know what I mean? The fact that we've got a player of the calibre of Josh Cullen who can deliver a cross helps that situation enormously. So if they say, I don't know, we're set piece number two, then it must give the strikers or the centre-halves so much confidence that if they make that run, the ball's going to be there.
Now, of course, Lee Bailey was pitting himself against Marcelo Bielsa, one of the great tacticians in world football, apparently. you know, I was saying that Bozer's, I think, in what is still a fledgling managerial career, I mean, he's shown that he knows how to out-tactic someone else. And he's talking about in the interview we're going to hear with Taylor, and he said it in his press conference yesterday as well, you know, he knows when to change the system. He knows how to match up or to force even Leeds to match up, which is the first time apparently they've done that for a long time, that they've been forced into change system. And when we saw us going to three at the back at times yesterday, and, you know, Prattley dropping into that back three or Jason Pearce coming on late, that's when they just weren't creating real opportunities, or too many of them, in open play.
Yeah, it's something I'll maybe come on to later, because I had a theory around that three at the back when Taylor's not playing anyway. But we go back to the obvious comparison, which is our last manager, Carl Robinson, who stuck to a very rigid formation. And when you're winning and when you're making other teams beat you with a formation that they know you're going to play, that's one way of doing it. But Boya studies the opposition, works out what he thinks is the best formation to beat them, and make sure that his players are trained enough to be able to adapt to whatever formation that is. And it's not just at the start of games, as you say. We did it yesterday mid-game, and we've seen plenty of games where half time he's gone, do you know what we're doing isn't working, we're going to switch it around. I think we've got the quality of the players to do it, but also Boya's got the balls to say, well, do you know what, I'm going to try it, and if it doesn't come off, well, that's on me, and I'll hold my hands up and say, well, we tried something else and it didn't work. And yeah, I think, you know, he just comes across as he knows the game. That's the thing. And we heard it after that Peterborough rant when he said, you know, I've played the game, I know the game. And you think, well, what does that mean? Is that just the desire? Is that just the hunger? But it's not. He understands the tactics as well. He's got a great team around him and people like Brett and Jacko, as Sue said, who's played it and knows how this thing works. And yeah, he's proven himself already, obviously a very junior level as a manager, but you go up against someone like Bielsa, one of the great coaches of all time, and to out-tactic him like that, he deserves a huge amount of credit.
Right. I mean, obviously, there were going to be chances as the game went on. Not as many as I thought that they could have possibly been. I'll talk about the similarities between the Brentford game and this game. I felt Brentford were camped on the edge of our box, still not creating too many chances. Leeds seemed to be playing a little bit deeper. We were getting out a bit better. But there were chances. I mean, notably, the block from Sam Field when that corner, 4 minutes into added time, just drops anywhere, similar to that Forest game that was mentioned earlier. But and exactly the same as the Brentford game, Sam Field, the man who's come off the bench, is there. It's, and again, another loanee as well, Sue.
We have players, and again, Sue alluded to it earlier about buying players who buy into what we're about. And we've all, in the past, when Kirby, I think, started it really. Actually, Lenny Lawrence started it. You get players who come in who get it. And I think Chris Powell did it, and now Lee Bowyer's doing it with Steve Gallen and Johnny Jackson. They're only bringing in players who understand it and get it and want to put a shift in. And that it also means throwing your body in front of a football travelling at 150 miles an hour. And they were all doing it, every single one of them. Sam Fields yesterday. I initially thought it was a save by Dylan. But then when he got up, he looked around and said, well, I had no idea what went on there.
That almost said it all. The fact that there was three or four people could have made the block exactly. there, because as soon as that ball dropped loose inside that 6-yard box, everyone was right on top of it. I mean, we saw other ones that were charged shots charged down inside that area. It's incredible how the players were sort of swarming onto those Leeds men when the balls were sort of dropping into the penalty area. I think Leeds is... only real clear-cut chance in that second half fell to the Arsenal loanee, Eddie Nketiah. And he, I mean, it was quite lucky the way it dropped to him. I think Naby Sarr had a header, probably didn't quite get it out as far as he wanted to. And if Nketiah had caught that properly, there was two men there who were ready to block it because they had charged him down. But because he completely miskicked it, it dribbled past him so slowly that our players had already done the block and then got out of the way. And then you just saw it agonisingly rolling towards the far post with a chap coming in as well. And that just dropped wide. And when you see stuff like that, you're thinking, yeah, I think this is our day.
Yeah, I said exactly the same off air, that it's when those things happen that you think, yeah, we've got this. Like, we always feel confident. I felt like we were going to win yesterday. I don't know why. I just had a feeling before the game that we were going to win it. But then you still think, oh, yeah, but this is Leeds and they are really good and... they've got some amazing players. But it was when things like that happen, you think, yeah, we've got this. This is our day. So it's just, I think the last 15 minutes, although we said we got a bit nervous, I don't know whether nervous was the right word. It's just one of those, like Terry said, that you think, oh God, please don't let it be caused by a mistake from us, not necessarily Leeds playing a little bit better than they already had.
Now, of course, Leeds have a very hard-earned reputation as dirty Leeds over the course of the years.
Rightly so.
Yeah. Well, I was chatting with some of the chaps in here yesterday, and we were trying to find out if that fair play award they got in the week could be rescinded after Patrick Bamford's assault on Conor Gallagher. Now, I've seen a few late tackles in my time. I've probably been on the receiving end of a couple, but my lord, I mean, that was so late. I don't think I'm surprised the referee hadn't already blown the full time whistle by the time that challenge came in. It was frustrated. And it was a horrible kick on Conor Gallagher, and there is absolutely no excuse for that. Surely that was a red card challenge, surely.
Yeah, at the time, I'll be honest, I thought it was a booking. But seeing it back and seeing it from the angle that the referee saw it, I don't understand how he hasn't given it a red. It was cynical, and as you say, it was just pure frustration. Gallagher had been the best player on the pitch, probably. Bamford hadn't had really anything fall his way, and I think he just took it out on Gallagher. He made absolutely no effort to play the ball at all. And just completely wiped him out and could have hurt him as well. So, yeah, having seen it back for me, it should have been a straight red.
There must be a little bit of satisfaction from Conor Gallagher being that 18-year-old kid who's come on and put in the performance that winds up a player to that extent that they want to kick you off the pitch, because, I mean, he was all over the place yesterday, wasn't he, Conor Gallagher?
The great quote from Lee Bowyer pre-match was about singing his praises and saying, yeah, it reminds me of me because he got taken out by somebody, I can't remember if he said who, and then next challenge he absolutely wiped him. He said he got his own back, so he's not fazed. He's gonna stick up for himself. But I'm a bit with Tom here. When it first happened, I thought it was a little bit reckless, but nothing overly sinister at the time. But it wasn't until I saw Lockyer sprint, 20, 30 yards, so he must have seen exactly how it happened. And then, because we're on comms and there are people watching it on Valley Pass on the telly and then probably seeing it back again, said straight red. They were actually coming comments on Twitter saying, no, that he should have been off.
Yeah. My initial reaction straight away was straight red. I mean, we were right above it, and I could say it wasn't even a tackle. That's the thing. If it's a tackle, if you've gone in for a late challenge, then you can understand maybe it's a missed time chance, yellow card. But that does not look like a tackle. That is a swing of the leg, and it's a kick on 18-year-old Conor Gallagher. Now, a few people were talking about potential home fans, away fans in the home end yesterday, and I actually bumped into one I knew when I was coming down the stairs. It's a chap who used to go down to watch Bromley as well, and I'd sort of recognised, I hadn't seen him for a few years, and it was only about halfway down the stairs it clicked. I was, what are you doing here? You're a Leeds fan. But he talked about Conor, and I was sort of saying, yeah, he played well, and I said, it's amazing he's only 18, and his jaw dropped to the floor. He had no idea, he didn't really know who he was, he just thought he was a good player. I mean, for a man or for a boy that age to come in and to be running championship midfields, I mean, he's got Chelsea have got a player on their hands there when eventually goes back there.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to my friend yesterday about him during the game, because he does things and you think, how the hell is he doing that? He's 18 years old. His vision and his response, like, he's so quick. So sometimes a ball will like dink off of someone and the Charlton players will just sort of stand and then sort of run after it. Connor's there. He's just there. He's got this vision and this maturity that I've not seen for a long time in a player that young. And to be able to sort of ride out the... Because I think if you're going to learn your sort of bread and butter, if you want to say that, the Championship is a really good place to do it, because it is, you've got the skill and the pace alongside the being kicked and bullied off the ball. And I kind of got a bit sad about it, because then I thought... Realistically, is he ever going to get into the Chelsea side? Like, we all think he's amazing, but he's probably one of the best players we've got at the club at the moment. And a lot of people from other clubs are saying, wow, like, what a player. But then when you look at it...
If this transfer embargo they've got currently goes on for a few more years,
Lampard will know. He'll get reports, and it's almost like the reverse. You remember when Scott Parker first appeared in a Charlton shirt? He reminds me a lot of Scott Parker when he first appeared. He's got all the tenacity, all the skill, but he's a bit lightweight. So we sent Scott Parker away to Norwich for almost a season, not quite a full one, but almost a season. He came back a different player, came back stronger physically and mentally. And I should imagine that's what Chelsea are hoping Conor Gallagher does. So if he develops in the same way, he'll get back in that Chelsea side comfortably, I think. Whether it takes this season or next, I don't know. Hopefully, they'll ignore it. You know, they'll lift the transfer embargo and Chelsea can find some squillion pound European player to pick instead, and we'll get him on the cheap.
Now, talking about dirty Leeds again, there was one other incident yesterday, and this is quite an unsavoury incident by the sounds of it. Now, I've seen a few people on the forums talking about this. There was some sort of cryptic quote from Macaulay Bonn as well that came out via Phil Hay, the Leeds United journalist. I wasn't actually in Macaulay's press conference, but I heard after. So those of us in the West Stand would have seen at one point Leeds handed a note to one of their own players, at which point Macaulay tried to steal it, and I thought, oh, that's quite funny. But it sounds like he was trying to steal it, because
evidence.
I've heard what it said on it was something along the lines of, try and get number 14 sent off, Jonathan Lecco. Now, later on in that game, now, only sort of going off what I heard, my brother actually saw this incident as well. He said there was some sort of incident between one of the Leeds United players, and I won't say who yet because I don't want to start throwing accusations around, and two of our players. But like I say, it's all over the forum anyway. But it would appear that some people seem to think there was some sort of unsavoury comment between a Leeds United player and two of our players, or potentially just one in Jonathan Lecco. Now, I think by the sounds of it, it could come out later on, but if there has been some sort of comment, which is what a lot of people who saw the incident are claiming, I mean, there's trying to get a player sent off, or there's kicking players, but then there's taking things to the next level. And if what some people are implying might have happened there, Tom, has happened, I mean, I don't think we've heard the end of that yet.
No, definitely not. I wasn't aware of the incident at all, haven't seen the forum post at all, but obviously just going what we spoke about off air and what you've said there, if what's being reported is true, then it obviously requires further investigation, because there are problems in football at the moment that are rearing their heads again throughout football. Lots of things that are becoming a problem, and if what's being reported is anything along those lines, then it requires investigation and requires dealing with very, very strongly. As you say, it's accusations at the moment, and whether we can find the evidence and whether what is being accused actually happened, I guess will come out in the time. But if that is the case, then it needs to be dealt with strongly, because as I say, there are things like that rearing their head through fan groups and all kinds of stuff across football. And if it's coming from players as well, then obviously the issue is not being addressed hard enough at the moment.
Right, we're going to hear from Lee Bowyer in a few seconds' time. Don't forget, there's still plenty of time for you to have your say on this evening's Charlton Live. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live Forum to have your say on yesterday's performance. Loads of you have already got in touch. We'll come to those after we hear from Lee Bowyer. Later on in the show as well, we're going to hear from Lewis Kensley, the young fan who's going to be dyeing his hair, just like Lyle Taylor, for the month of October. We will look ahead to the Swansea game if we have time at the end of the show, because we've got to patch them up and go again in about 4 days' time, but we'll come to that as the time is right. So Lee Bowyer came in to speak to Terry in this very studio after yesterday's game. The Addicts boss said that his side have just beaten the best side in the Championship.
I think you witnessed it yourself today, the way they move the ball, the way they break, the intensity and the pace that they break at, how quickly they win the ball back. They're a very good side. I think just tactically, I think we got it right today. I've looked at their strengths and their weaknesses all week, and we nullified them to not many chances, and that was the main plan, because if we do that, I believe we've always got a chance of scoring, whether it's in open play or set pieces. I know how hard Jacko and Marsh and Brett work on the set pieces. We said before the game, one of them said before the game, like, we'll score from a set piece today if we get the delivery right. We could have scored maybe another one or two. But I think in the general game, I thought we was very good. I don't think we embarrassed ourselves in any way. I thought we won the ball back well. Dele's only just come in there and said, like, well done. He said, you pressed us really high and hard, and that was part of the game plan, you know. Most teams just sit there and drop off. If you can't affect the ball, then you have to drop off. But if you can, then you can get after them. I don't care how good you are, you don't like it. I know I was a player, so I thought our work rate was exceptional.
On the back of two disappointing results, coming up against the Leeds side, yeah, I mean, I know all games in this division are going to be tough, but is that a good thing? Because the players obviously had to raise their game against a top side, but was it the right game to come up against after two disappointing results?
No, not really. I don't think. You ever really want to play against Leeds? I don't think there's a good time to play them. But it's two disappointing results. But for me, we deserve something from both games. Like, as I said last week, like the worst 45 minutes that we'd played. But we still created chances. Like, you've got to remember that the standard that I've set us is sky high. So I'm going to get disappointed at times. But we still created enough chances last week to at least get a draw. We had five. Tom Lockett could have had hat-trick. Should have had hat-trick. So, Tamar had two very good chances. One in the first half, one in the second half. Johnny Williams, like, seemed to clear one the wrong way last week. You know, like, it's just a tap-in, and then he's hit his standing leg and gone the other way. We had so many chances. So, we ain't been playing bad, apart from our passing in the first half against Wigan. Apart from that, I think the two results, I think, we didn't do bad. I was never panicking. I'm not panicking. I'm not worrying. Because I know every time I go out there, the players are going to give me 100%. And they're good players. So, again, I think we showed that today. We surprised Leeds. I said we're going to surprise teams. And we're definitely doing that.
You brought McCauley Bonn in up front. Was that to for his pace to try and defend from the front? Rewarded you with a goal, although you probably didn't know a great deal about it.
Macca, well, for me, it's been tough for Macca, you know. Like, he's come from Orient, and no disrespect, there was like non-league, and to now come and play in the Championship, that's a massive step for him, and we've had to work hard with him, and we're still working hard, and he's a work in process, you know. Like, he's not the finished article yet, and I don't think it's fair just to chuck him in the beginning. It wouldn't have been fair on him. So today he got his chance and he grabbed it. Again, worked so hard, come off with cramp. Can't ask no more of him. He worked hard, he won headers, he held the ball up well. So, and he can finish, by the way. So once he gets a proper chance, the lad can finish. So, yeah, I thought he was outstanding. I thought they all was outstanding. But for Macca to play, start his first game against, for me, the best side in the league at home, 20-odd thousand, I think he handled the occasion very well.
Two teams out there that are close to your hearts. Close to your heart, Leeds have come here. The Leeds fans would have come here. They would have known what to expect from a Lee Bowyer side. And I think Charlton side gave them exactly what they probably expected, because there were people throwing their bodies on the line out there. Every challenge was committed. There were nothing left on the field when they left, I don't think.
No. Yeah, Leeds fans, they know that the player I was, and anyone that's seen us play says like that they're just an image of you. Like, they give everything, they work so hard as a group, they leave everything out there, and I was the same as a player, so that's what I demand from my players. If you don't give me that, you don't play. They probably see what they see many, many times over the 6.5 years I was there.
Is that defensive strength that we showed today going to be so important in the rest of this season? I mean, we're now in the top six, 17 points from 9 games. You couldn't have wanted two better start, I wouldn't have thought, but that defensive performance should stand us in good stead if we can repeat that.
But that's been every game. For me, that's been every game. All 9 games that we've played, we've had that. Don't forget, last week they didn't really create any chances. Last week, Dylan, I can't remember him having to make a proper save last week. They scored from 2 set pieces against Birmingham. Can't remember Dylan making too many saves. You know, like, we defend like men. Like, they put their bodies on the line. They all work so hard from top to bottom, because it starts at the top. So we keep working hard, and we keep trying to keep clean sheets, because if we do, we'll keep winning games.
I suppose the question now is getting them back up for the game on Wednesday. Another tough one. Well, they're all going to be tough, of course, but Swansea, yeah, come to the Valley on Wednesday. Recovery time is going to be important.
Yep. This is where it comes into taking care of your body and recovery, and making sure that they rest tomorrow. They'll have tomorrow off, they'll rest. I'm not silly, I'll look after them when I can. So they'll be off tomorrow, and then Monday, Tuesday, we won't do much. Just be a case of, on the Monday, getting the rubbish going out of your legs, do a little bit of football. Tuesday will be more tactical, so there won't be much. So hopefully Wednesday they'll be raring to go and at it again, because we have to be. We're playing the team the second, I think, in the league. They don't get much harder. We just play the side that's top, and then they decide the second. So, but we're at home, and we'll have our own fans singing their hearts out again. But they was unreal today. Unreal from start to finish. I said earlier, like, it makes the air stand up on the back of your neck when it just don't stop. And the players needed them again. The last 10 minutes was tough. They were trying to pin us in, getting overloads everywhere. And so, but the fans were there, and they helped us get across the line again.
5,000 more in the Valley than watched the last time the two sides met in the Championship, so that's a testament to your work, the players' work, and everybody behind the scenes, and what you're putting together.
No, well, it's good to see, and I'm glad they're all enjoying it and getting behind the lads. That's all I ask.
Tired of ads barging into your favourite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers with a header. And it's Jones.
Yes!
Oh, it's Jones.
Yes!
Oh, he's got it. Oh, Patrick Barr. You absolute German beauty. Woo! Dreamland. Jones has scored. With seconds remaining.
We've done it all.
Get in. Come on. What a time to be a hero.
Here at Wembley.
Oh, my word! Oh, my word!
Charlton Live.
After finishing third in their first season since promotion, Charlton Athletic Women take on Aston Villa at the Valley on Saturday, October the 12th. The game is heating up to be a popular one in the FA Women's Championship, and tickets are on sale now for the match by visiting booking.cafc.co.uk. Get down to the Valley and show your support for Charlton Athletic Women. Charlton Athletic Women versus Aston Villa at the Valley, Saturday, October the 12th, kickoff 3 p.m.
So welcome back, this is Charlton Live on your Sunday evening. We just heard there from the Addicts boss, Lee Bowyer, who came in to speak to Terry after yesterday's fantastic 1-0 victory over Leeds United, his former club, of course. He's always so enthusiastic when he comes in to speak, isn't he, Sue?
Is that because of what I've just said? It's really weird, like, I know I've talked about this before, but I've known Bo since we were both 17. And when he was that young...
Steady boys,
like,
no reaction.
when he was that young, like, he was always quite fiery. And even as a player, obviously, we know. And even I'm taken aback by how calm he is when he's talking about games. I know he's had his odd little rants, especially about the fat geezer.
I think you said big geezer rather than
big geezer. Sorry, fat geezer.
Well, he probably wanted to say fat.
I think we could all say worse about Steve Evans, but anyway. But yeah, he just, when I listen to him, he's just so calm and like, yeah, he should start reading, like Tom's just said, doing audiobooks. Yeah. I think it's
Zenbo. Yeah.
Definitely not what you would expect. Yeah.
I think it was Steve Evans and Carl Robinson on the same touchline yesterday. You can imagine what that would have been like. Whew, they're probably still there chatting away now, aren't they? Yeah. Right.
Neither of them getting
trading insults.
Yeah. Excellent stuff. Well, let's start having a look at what people had to say after yesterday's performance. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. Head over to the Charlton Live forum to have your say. There's plenty of you who already have. And the first one last night came in from George, saying, last week we said to give Macaulay Bond a start, and we were right. I thought he worked very hard yesterday. And Freddie says, great result for the lads yesterday. Hopefully Bond has earned his spot in the starting lineup now. We just need Anike alongside him. So we talked a bit about Bon earlier, Tom, but I don't think we've really spoken about who's going to partner him. So of course Jonathan Lecco sort of plays alongside, sort of just behind and a little bit wider. I thought Lecco was frustrating yesterday, but at the same time there were two or three good things that won't be picked up. Now there was a point, yes, I mean we had some raucous fans behind us where we were sitting. You kept swearing in our microphones, actually. But at one point, I mean, they were getting frustrated with Lecco because, sure enough, he gave the ball away quite a lot yesterday, more so than what I've been used to. But then, I mean, I think it was Phil Parry who pointed out, at one point yesterday, he then picked up the ball on the halfway line, took it past two people, and then sent a brilliant pass over to the right-hand side. Didn't hear a peep from the chance behind us when he did that. I mean, he's a frustrating player. Would you drop him yet? Because I still think he's shown a lot.
No, I certainly wouldn't. I think there was a couple of people around me who two or three times just wanted him to pass it that few seconds earlier, and I completely get that. But the reason he's in that side is because when he picks up the ball, he scared that Leeds back four. And yes, there were a couple of times where he held on the ball too long. One time in particular, I can't remember who it was on the overlap, but he could have put him clean through and he didn't. But you're going to get that from a young player and a mercurial player like that. But the other two times, as you say, he's going to take players on and he's going to make a pass as well. So you're going to get 5 out of 10 probably brilliant moments, 5 out of 10 maybe not so good. But at the same time, when he's running at those players, he continued to scare them and continued to put them under pressure. And that's what he's in the side to do.
A few things here for me. Firstly, if he was the finished article, West Brom would still have him and we wouldn't. Mm. And that's why he's with us. Secondly, if you remember the Forest game where he absolutely ran non-stop for 45 minutes and then couldn't come out again afterwards. So I think people are expecting him to do that again at that level, at that pace, at that intensity for 90, and that's not possible. Mm. So I think he's obviously learned and been told to pace himself a little bit more, and it's working. And both here, and the reason I think himself and Macaulay Bond were put on there was to close down that back three, or sometimes it was a back one that Leeds were playing. As an extra defensive. So, I mean, Lee Bowyer obviously went into the game thinking, we've got to keep it tight, we've got to stop them creating. If we can get a goal, great. And quite prepared to win it 1-0, and that's what happened. So, sometimes you have to sacrifice the attacking intent of your players to make sure you don't lose. And I've said it a few times already this season. And I think Lee Bowyer knows it better than anyone, and he's learning as a manager brilliantly. If you can't win a game, make sure you don't lose it.
Yeah.
And then you might just scrape a win 1-0. And I think that's pretty much what happened yesterday.
Going back to Jonathan Lecca, I don't think I've ever seen a player who beats his first man with such consistency. Yeah. But the problem is he then tends to run into two or three others. But you know, I certainly still think he brings a lot to the side. I mean, Freddie did mention about Chucks and Ike there. So have you seen much of Chucks? Because I quite like Chucks and Ike, but we still haven't had a start from him yet. So, I mean, he's certainly a good option to bring off the bench.
I think Chucks is someone that I wouldn't start with. One, because he hasn't got the pace that Jonathan's got. But two, I feel like he is someone that you can bring on that's very strong, can challenge and can cause some problems when your opposition side are a little bit tired and not as strong as they are in the first sort of 20-25. So I would definitely stick with Jonathan. I think he's an exciting player. I think he's an exciting prospect because, like you say, the pace that he's got when he's got the ball at his feet, you're not going to get that with Chucks. He's a big man. He's not going to be able to sprint. When he started running yesterday, it looked like he's got bricks in his boots. But then he has got that strength that when you've got a set piece that he can hold players
he's
off or
just
ball, bounce them off him.
And I still think we're going to see a bit more of him being a good finisher over the course of the season.
Definitely.
Rag tweeted in, should be a good show. Looking forward to it. It's a great game yesterday. I'm really pleased with the result. Whilst Leeds pushed hard, we dealt with it very well. We needed it after two losses. Great for team morale without Taylor. Best result so far of the season. And £160 better off. LA, not bad. I mean, yeah, just putting it into... I always like to try and put the... We come onto a Sunday show and we talk about a single game, but then I do like to put it into the context of a season. Now, said on what Thursday show, like... Didn't fancy going into this run of games that we had coming up. I mean, sure enough, Bayer said, look, every team we're playing is a championship football team, but obviously some are better than others, and we got to play three big teams in this division in the course of a week. I mean, I won't be surprised if we see some chopping and changing before Swansea, but in order to get 3 points on the table before that week, at the very start of that week, I mean, that takes the pressure off a little bit, if nothing else.
Yeah, and I think I said at the start of the show, we could easily have been sitting here in 3 weeks' time having lost five in a row, and I wouldn't have been hugely surprised, because the Birmingham and Wigan results I hadn't expected, but these next three games are absolutely massive. So to get 3 points on the board already out of the first one is absolutely brilliant. And I think he's right, if you put it in context of the whole season. I mean, we've had some very, very good results already, but it's the first time we've come off the back of defeats this season. It's the first time Bowyer has slightly called out his squad by saying they didn't really give him what he expected at Wigan. Coming up against possibly the best side, certainly one of the best sides in the division. You put all that together, the fact we've come out with that result is hugely impressive. But yeah, in context of the season, possibly, yes, the best result, but I think we've got to look at the season as a whole. We've just started really, really well.
Right, Peter Barrett says, a great team performance. The back four were terrific, but without a doubt, the man of the match had to be young Gallagher. He covered every blade of grass. He never shirked a tackle. A joy to watch. Let's just hope that we're feeding negative reports back to Chelsea. I know there was a Chelsea fan on Twitter who was behind the dugout yesterday watching Conor Gallagher, so hopefully he's got no way of telling Frank Lampard what he saw. But yeah, Cliff Scales yesterday was a battling display. It wasn't pretty at times, but we done what we had to do against a quality side. The whole team deserves praise. That I thought Gallagher was man of the match. Solly and Bond were excellent. Special praise has to go to Darren Pratley. He's been bloody marvellous this season. I think we've managed to go the whole show without mentioning Darren Pratt as Pratley somehow, because he's been brilliant this
superb.
Season.
Absolutely superb. And going back to what Tom said in the comment earlier, this is what we wanted to do this season, isn't it? I mean, you know, we've been in misery for a good number of years, at least for as long as we've been owned by certain people in Belgium. And the reason it was so emotional last season, the reason we're so gushing about Lee Bowyer, is because, you know, we found something and we found a formula that has lifted us out of the gloom. And so, you know, the reason I scream like an idiot at Wembley is because this is exactly what we wanted to go through. We wanted to play Leeds. We want to play Birmingham. We want to play, you know, Fulham and Swansea. And it's going to be tough. For me, it's a free ride. Yeah. You know, the whole season is a free ride.
Yeah. I mean, Lewis pointed out on Thursday show, this time last year, I looked up, it was when we beat Plymouth at home, 2-1, last minute Carl and Grant goal. And I enjoyed that game for sure, but it's nothing like beating Leeds United, the former pretend champions of Europe, is it?
It's nothing like beating any team at this level from where we've been. You know, and everybody's expectations of us this season were pretty much, we'll be lucky to get fourth from bottom. If we're lucky, you know, we could be adrift by Christmas. All of that. This is all about us enjoying this and beating Leeds. It could have been anybody. You know, it doesn't matter who. Leeds is great, but you know, if that result, if we'd have achieved that result against, I don't know, against Huddersfield, I'd have been equally chuffed. Yeah. It's as I said, free ride. We were not expected to do this, and we're going to surprise quite a few people this season.
Right, Tony's got involved. It was a fantastic squad performance. Leeds were a strong side and played very well. We frustrated them and defended like gladiators. McCauley Bond held the ball up when he could. His movement was top notch. I can't fault any member of that squad, and Johnny Williams is an absolute wizard. I'm not sure why Chris Solly gets so much stick on here, talking about Twitter. He was immense today, solid at the back and good going forward. Phillips too, a couple of bad kicks, but other than that he kept another clean sheet and pulled off some blinding saves. Phillips made a couple of saves in the early stages. They were the only two really he had to make. Solly, let's talk about Solly, because I mean, I feel like there has been a lot of comments about Chris Solly. I always refute them because I think I can't see any drop off in Solly. For some reason, people notice one, but I've never seen it. And I thought yesterday, you know, he played his part in an excellent defensive performance.
Yeah, I think Solz is Mr. Consistent, really. And I think he's one of them players that if he did have a bad game, the whole team would have a bad game because it's not, it's so unlike Solz to have a bad game. And I think like maybe people were getting worried because he's spent a bit of time on the sidelines with his dodgy knees and stuff, but I think when I think Bo's going to be able to manage him and his and how his sort of his knees are, and not playing every game perhaps is going to like make people think, oh, he's not good enough, but it's not that, it's being able to manage potential injuries and getting the best out of him. And I just thought he was just classic Souls yesterday.
Agreed. I mean, in a strange way, this season is going to benefit Chris Solly because, yeah, he's going to be rested, of course, and you'll probably find Desi will come in on Wednesday, potentially, because not only do the club have to manage him, he has to manage himself, and I think that's what he's doing. Mm. I don't think I've seen probably a better right-back defensively at this club. Because he just reads the games.
That's
seriously,
bold,
yeah.
Tell.
Seriously,
yeah, he's seen a lot of right backs.
Going back to the 1930s.
As an out defender, I've not seen too many better. Now, what he had, you know, when he was a bit younger, was that ability to get forward and put a decent cross in, and he could. Now I think that's less likely. He's managing himself and he reads the game brilliantly. There was that, I'm trying to think, Harrison, wasn't it, on their left-hand side, our right? Yeah. And he looked quite a dangerous player, but Chris Solly just, he tried to go outside him once or twice and failed miserably.
Mm. Just talk about history there. I just wanted to point out actually something that was in the programme yesterday, written by Ben Hayes from the Charlton Museum. And it was, you remember a few weeks ago, we took my other half's uncle or great-uncle and great-aunt to the museum. Mm. It's the explanation of what happened in the programme. But basically, we looked at this infamous photo of the 1947 Cup final.
And Terry's in the background.
Well, no, I was going to say, spotted there's a little child in the middle. And Ben Hayes, I mean, I always assumed it was Terry, but Ben Hayes had said no one's ever known who it was. And our aunt knew, Amy's aunt knew who it was. So we've got the bat in the story. Yeah, all about the kid.
So they're nerds.
So quite interesting. It's nice to find out it wasn't Terry. Right, so Sarah Saunders says, who scored the goal? Lockyer, Bonn or Dallas? But then again, who cares? We won. Also, I think that Prattley is underrated. He always gives 110%, but gets overlooked sometimes. Tom Bramley said it was a similar game to Brentford, where everyone put a shift in. Standouts were Prattley, Saar and Gallagher. For me, they left it all out on the pitch. Also, Bonn showed that he deserves to start while Taylor is out. He didn't stop running yesterday. Bring on Swansea. John says, if you defend like Lions, you've always got a chance. All the boys were superb. With a couple of better passes, we could have had more. Spencer said that the defence as a unit were outstanding yesterday. Lockyer is one of the best signings of the summer. Yeah, certainly a character, isn't he, Tom Lockyer, as well? Goal scoring prowess apparently after yesterday, but you know, he's one of those who's made the step up from a lower league into the Championship with ease.
Yeah, and obviously we lost Patrick Bauer pretty much straight after he scores that winner at Wembley, and he'd become a big, big presence in last season's team, and him and Pierce, and then him and Saar had formed decent partnerships, and you wondered how we were going to replace that because we didn't really have anybody else in the side. And we signed Lockyer, who I think was captain, wasn't he, at Bristol, and you know, comes with that leader reputation. It was a theme of a lot of the signings we got during the summer, but didn't actually know too much about him as a player, and saw him getting slated even before pre-season, I think, and then during pre-season. And I think Naif called him out and said, this is going to be the guy that's the scapegoat for us. And Naif, more than anyone, has defended him on this show. But I think he's defending himself. He's putting in brilliant performances and, yeah, deserves all the praise he gets, because I can't really think of a fault or a foot that he's put wrong so far.
Yeah, no, Jonathan Lecco's a new scapegoat. I don't think if you've got the note.
Didn't get the memo.
Yeah. Right, Gavin says, hi, chaps. With many understandably concerned about Boya's precarious one-year contract, do you think Gallen's promotion to the boardroom could help persuade Rowland to offer him a decent deal? Does it really hinder a sale if he's on a longer contract? There's no way on earth that could possibly hinder a sale. It's like, you know, that really good manager we've got. He's tied down for a few years, so I want out.
That doesn't mean the excuse won't come anyway.
Yeah, crazy. I don't think Gallen's being there will make a difference either, though, because, I mean, in terms of Boya's contract, I can't see Gallen being able to persuade Rowland to be sensible on that. I think Rowland likes to do things his own way, as we found out to our detriment over the year. Heather McKinley. When I cut my birthday cake at work in the week, I wished for 3 points and a suitable marking of the Lisby hat-trick anniversary, which was a day out. So the hat-trick anniversary was Friday, I think, or during the week at some point. But they showed it on Match the Day, which was a nice comment. Heather added, I am most pleased that we got away with our goalie wearing nearly the same colour as them, minus the fluorescent pink. I hadn't noticed that, actually. But yeah, it was Heather's birthday during the week, and a couple of us, we went to the bar, didn't we, before the game.
Had a Diet Coke.
Yeah, to celebrate. Well, I did.
That probably why I was just so nervous.
Yeah, it could have been, yeah.
Should have had a Guinness.
Yeah, and she got the 3 points that she wanted. Vital Charlton quality performance yesterday. We stood our ground and pulled off a brilliant defensive performance. My first game back from holiday, so I guess I'm a glory hunter like Tom. There you go, Tommy. Well, we had Deal Addict, who tweeted in last week as well, saying they were back from holiday and we're going to start winning games. And everyone's delivered on their promise. Bob Liscombe, a great end to a perfect week yesterday following a holiday in Gran Canaria. Has anyone not been on holiday? Nathan's on holiday currently as well. Anyone checked outside to see if Gallagher is still running around the pitch? Richard Justin said, what a contrast. Last week, I was fearing the worst. Yeah, well, it goes to show that, I mean, Boya was saying himself, you know, we feel down in the dumps after a couple of defeats, but we did create a couple of chances in those games. We were never outplayed completely, and I guess that's what we saw yesterday.
I think the advantage we've got this season is that there's no expectation. Mm. Our greatest hope is to stay up, and it has been since the beginning. We've got the lowest wage bill. We've got probably one of the smaller squads in the league. And I still think anything above fourth and bottom's gonna be an absolute, like, just that'll just be amazing. Yeah. So I think teams, even though we have had this good start, are probably still thinking that we're not as good as we are, and yeah, we will get scouted and stuff like that. But I just think, like, because of how Bo is so adapting, like, the team on a weekly basis effectively in terms of how he's setting up to play against the other side, people are going to find it harder to work us out because we're never really playing the same way.
Bielsa's comments yesterday about the difference between the two sides, and saying, you know, obviously via his translator, it sounded to me, he was saying, look, I know I've got better players than what Charlton have got, but I couldn't find a way to win. And I don't think he meant it in a bad way, but that's effectively what he was admitting, that we just were more dogged than them. We probably did out-tactic them. We did what we had to do, and we're going to do it over the course of this season. Right, Tim Jackson, every player and fan was absolutely brilliant. What a noise inside the valley. Special mention to Bon, who was superb. Also to Solly and to Purrington, our fullbacks won every one-on-one and were first to chase down every clearance we made at the end of the game. Great commitment. Brian Cole, I announced Macaulay Bon as the scorer. I did mention Tom Lockyer once, but I think I got away with it. Well, I did notice that you did say it was, but everyone thought it was Tom Lockyer at first, to be fair to him. Anthony Waghorn said it was a coward's challenge from Bamford on Conor Gallagher, which I think is a fair way of saying it. And then Bob says, obviously Leeds didn't have spies at Sparrows Lane this week. Dan says, I love Lee Boya, and it's criminal that his contract runs out again in June. We'll have even more eyes on him now after the Leeds results. We've got to tie him down with at least a longer deal than 1 year. Dan tweeted me before the game yesterday saying he was confident. I just tweeted back saying it's going to be a tough game. And I saw him in the car park after he said, I told you, and he was right.
Can I just ask everybody to hope Leeds win every single single game from now to the end of the season, except when we play them up their place.
On the last day.
So as they get promoted, Bielsa is carried arm aloft like a god, and they don't come sniffing for Lee Bowie.
On his bucket.
Yes, exactly. On his
cup of coffee on the top of it.
Matthias says, to beat Leeds United at home with the away record they have is fantastic. Leeds certainly put us under pressure at times, but from listening to commentary Valley Pass, it sounded like a hard-working display. Tom Lockyer and Conor Gallagher are really growing on me. All the best from the Sheffield lads. Thanks for making a great show. Yeah, cheers for that, Matthias. Are we up in Sheffield anytime soon? We must have Sheffield Wednesday at some point. It'd be good to see you up there, Matthias. Darren Ellis, I'm most pleased about that we got back to winning ways after two disappointing results against a side that probably will get promoted this season. The togetherness in this team is something else. Ray Bates, right? Great show as usual, although the language is a bit rich for my sensitive ears, Tom. Though you got them playing with so much spirit and no little belief, and long may it continue. It's a joy to watch. Were the crowd mics turned down during the game, Killer's Beard? Were the crowd mic is just because of the swearing? Or?
No, we didn't do it deliberately, unless they did it off campus. But no, we didn't. We don't know how to turn the mics down, otherwise you wouldn't hear us.
Yeah.
Which Dan, might be a good thing, to be fair.
Dan says, it's the Charlton way, win when we expect to lose and lose when we expect to win. Roll on Wednesday, 3 points, and then take a draw at Fulham. Happy days. Yeah, I'll take those results right now. David Nichols says, looking forward to a happier pod later. Chaps, pragmatism on Thursday's show was spot on, and we have to fight in every game. Yesterday was like Brentford in terms of our character and resilience. We can be so proud of the players, management and fans. What a job Bo, Gallant and his team are doing. Sebo's just got involved as well. I think this current squad we have has a type of spirit that the old Wimbledon FC crazy gang had in the late 80s and early to mid 90s. Would you agree with that? Those
I
of
don't,
you?
I don't think we've got any deep heat in any plans. Yeah.
I think without
Pepper
the
can't be arranged.
anything like that.
Without the psychopaths, I think that's probably fair. Yeah.
I wouldn't put us in that bracket at all because we haven't got that. I think in terms of the mentality, there's more of a calmness around us. I think were all just a bit nuts, weren't they?
That's why I'm said psychopaths. We haven't got that psychopathic tendency as far as I know. But I think we're going to have to get used to the odd Birmingham and the odd Wigan game because we play at such a high intensity. It's very difficult to keep that, especially with a relatively small squad that we've got for the whole season. So I think as long as people don't get too carried away with the occasional blip, which will happen for sure, because we're going to have days like yesterday as well.
Yeah. Right, quick break here on Charlton Live. We'll be back with your emails in 30 seconds. Lying beside
you. And Gallagher keeping in for Charlton. He's under a bit of pressure, flicks it on towards Pierce. Little flick forward towards Williams. He's onside.
Away.
Williams in the pounce here. Collects. Williams. Skies past Allen. No, Williams.
Oh.
Can Gallagher get on a retrieving ball? We can, but further wide. Gallagher, ball into Cullen. Cullen has got Prattley behind him. Cullen into the penalty area. Cullen still, ball across goal, comes Williams. And Enrique!
Get in there!
Enrique opens his account for the Addicts. It's great work on the left-hand side by Williams. And then Cullen comes in to win it again. Ball across goal, deflects the way of Chucks Enrique, who makes it Charlton 2, Stoke 1.
So welcome back. It's Charlton Live here on your Sunday evening or via the podcast afterwards. We've still got about 20 minutes left of this evening's show. We're going to hear from young Lewis Kensley later on. He's dyeing his hair pink for charity, and we'll talk about that in a few moments' time. But we've got a few more emails from yesterday. Richard Church says, hi all, thanks for being there. It's a great show and great commentary, Terry, as always. Thank you. Very much, Richard. He says, I was at the game yesterday and thoroughly enjoyed the match. You've probably covered all the sensible points. Well, we talked a lot about bums, but I wanted to give a big shout out to the ball boys yesterday, who took as long as reasonably possible to get the ball back to the players when it went out of play. Consistently made me smile, and I really admire their bottle in the face of what might seem to them big, bad, grown-up footballers. Well done to them. He said, apparently a ball boy was sent off at the Yeovil Bromley game yesterday. Yeah, in fact, one ball boy was sent off, and then the rest of them were taken away. Probably for exactly that reason, because I mean, our ball boys were doing it, and referees can say no more, because
fair
the ball
play
boys
to the ones,
they slowed the game down.
Specifically, the ones behind the goal and in front of the Leeds fans.
You see them celebrating when we went 1-0 up.
They deserve all the credit they're going to get. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's one of those things that's infuriating when it happens against you, but when it happens, when it's your ball boys doing the dirty work, you're like, well done, chaps. Right, McSquared says, hi guys, just wanted to say how much of a privilege it was to be at the Valley for yesterday's win against Leeds. It was an incredible team performance against one of the best sides in the division, and our boys gave their all for the full 96 minutes. Although Leeds enjoyed the lion's share of the possession and had far more chances to score, although they were mostly off target, we defended superbly and thoroughly deserved to emerge victorious in the end. We still didn't look potent in front of goal without Lyle, but the team more than compensated for this by battling as though their lives depended on it. If we keep turning in performances like that, we will definitely finish mid-table at the very least, which will be a fantastic achievement. Leeds tried to boss the game, which was very much played into our hands, and ultimately we frustrated them to the point where they started to lose their rag. The support was incredible too, and it's performances like those that make you proud to be a Charlton fan. 100% agree with that. Danny Hill says, what a gritty game that was yesterday. We dug deep from minute one. We knew we wouldn't have the possession and just had to take our chances when we had one, and we done it till. another world-class performance from Gallagher. Loved seeing the passion from Lockyer and from Field, but Macaulay Bond deserves a special mention. What a shift he put in, and didn't look like he came from a National League side at all, and he wants to see the same again on Wednesday. Mark Newbury, evening chaps and chapesses. I was asked before the game by some other fans what my prediction was. I said 3-0. They laughed and thought we'd be lucky to get a draw, but I have faith in us, and to be honest, Leeds have never impressed me when I've seen them a lot on Sky. It's pretty much every game. you can have all the possession you like, but if you can't score and defend like that, you get what you deserve. We certainly deserve the 3 points. I'm glad to see Mackie get a start. It reminds me of Steve Permatan Jones, his running style and willingness to chase and harass opponents look good. I'm sure Beau will have said we could have scored a few more with our decision making being a little bit off. Lecco choosing to shoot when Macca was better placed, and Chuck's looking to pass when a shot was better. Can't fault anyone yesterday except the ref, who, if it had been a stronger one in the first half, would have at least sent off that coward Bamford for his kick on Connor, who did himself credit by not rolling round like their guys. But if he had, I think Bamford would have gone. Also, just a warning, if you could tell everyone who parks down Eastmore Street, Greenwich ticketed a lot of cars, mine included, midway through the game, so be aware next home game. Oh, that's a shame. It's like sitting ducks, really, if you park down there.
Not a lot you can do, is there?
Yeah. Right, Ben Plummer. Says, hi guys, only managed to get to a few games a season, but I'm pleased I chose this one. First of all, the atmosphere was amazing. The Leeds fans helped to contribute to it as well. Such a solid performance overall. I had not really seen us have to play that defensive before, but it was enjoyable to watch in a different way to seeing an attacking performance. All of the team really pulled together as one. I wasn't sure we were going to get to last out without conceding in the second half, but the hard work got us through in the end. Standout performance with Gallagher, Williams and Prattley. Gallagher was just everywhere, harrying the Leeds players, and Williams provided a bit of creativity that was missing otherwise. Not sure any striker playing for Charlton would have been able to do much in that game yesterday, but Bond and Lecco both put in shifts. They really had nothing to work with apart from long hopeful balls, which most of the time Bond actually managed to win and hold up pretty well. Lecco also made so many good runs, but he was lacking when playing the final ball. On another day, this would have been a frustrating or even more frustrating to watch. Can't fault his work effort though. He was absolutely knackered by the end. Plenty of bodies on the line, crunching tackles, and great teamwork showed that we can compete in this league without Taylor. However, doing that game in, game out will be tough. On to Swansea on Wednesday. Thanks for your emails coming in. A couple of DMs as well. Cromie says, my youngest was mascot yesterday. So glad I got to tell Bayer that he has restored our pride. That was before we beat Dirty Leeds. Well, you would have heard the mascot earlier as well. Mark and Phil says, hi guys, didn't expect that yesterday. Would have taken a good performance, but to get the win was unreal. Defensively, one of the best I've seen in recent years. Tom Lockyer was outstanding, as was Connor Gallagher. Mentioned for Lecco, fantastic skills. Just needs to sort out his final ball, and then we'll have a very useful forward on our hands. Only once, one comment that came in yesterday from Green Pea said, massive result, fully deserved. Just disappointed in seeing Bowyer fist pumping towards the Northern so-and-so. So Bowyer went and did the lead salute to a player, to a team he spent 6 years at. I mean, I can get over that.
Yeah, I think we all expected him to pay some sort of tribute to the Leeds following. I mean, he's a hero up there as much as, and when you think about it, he actually only played for Charlton for probably a year and a half, if that. and he was at Leeds a lot longer, played in the Champions League, and you just, I would never sort of think badly of Lee. I would have been disappointed if he hadn't, actually, yeah, because I know how much Leeds means to him, and how much he means to them.
If he'd done that after we got beat 4-0, then I could see people having a go. But I mean, we won, and he went up and said thank you to a fan base that, I mean, I think, I know a lot of people don't, but I think Leeds is a great club. I think it's a massive club.
Oh, they're
club.
Unreal. Yeah. Unreal. And I was a bit puzzled at some of the tweets last night saying that they couldn't hear Leeds fans. They were so loud. And I think we came back to that discussion about the Jimmy Seed again in terms of the acoustics in there, that it just that sound just carries. And it must have been really hard for Dylan. That second half must have been really hard for him.
Right, we've still got some more messages about yesterday's game, but I want to get on to our interview with Lewis Kensley. So he's a young lad who did the same last year, but he's going to be joining with Lyle Taylor for the next month, and I'll let him explain what he's going to be doing.
With my score, I'm just going to try and do a pink and red day for the boys. We're going to try and do a red, and then the girls are going to come in light pink. And then I'm going to dye my hair pink and try to race to £250.
Lovely stuff, because you're taking it to the extreme and you're going to try and go pink for the whole month, aren't you?
Yeah, because my school's letting me do this, and we've already had a chat with my school, and they're going to help raise money.
Yeah. I understand you did this last year as well?
Yeah, me and my two friends, Harrison and Reese, did this, and we raised about £600.
Oh, nice. So, I mean, you set a target of 250. I mean, I'm sure with enough Charlton fans getting behind you, maybe we could even try and beat that target you had last year.
Yeah, maybe. We have to see what happens with all the raising.
Yeah. So what is it that inspired you to follow in the footsteps of Lyle Taylor?
Because I like helping people out, and I think it's really nice of him to just raise money for different charities.
And I mean, obviously Lyle Taylor's an excellent player. We're missing him, unfortunately, at the moment, but is he up there as one of your favourite Charlton players at the moment?
Yeah, he's my favourite Charlton player. Then there's Ben Parrington after that.
Yeah. So just looking at, coming back to the football, looking at the season start so far, obviously a couple of defeats in the last couple of weeks, but it's been a brilliant start to the season for the Addicts, hasn't it?
Yes, yeah, it's been fantastic seeing us doing so well in this division.
And how do you think we're going to get on this year? Do you think we can stay up, which is apparently still the target?
I think we'll come around the 10th mark, around mid-table.
Lovely stuff. So just to remind everyone, you're going to be dyeing your hair pink for the entire month of October. How can people get involved with donating? Will there be a link that we can share?
My dad set up just giving page for Jeffries and breast cancer awareness, so we'll split 50-50 into each page.
So there we go. That was young Lewis Kensley speaking to me about how he's planning to support Lyle Taylor, who's going to be dyeing his hair pink for the entire month. He's going to have a special day at his school as well. And then, yeah, so he's going to be trying to raise money. And he's also going to be wearing pink football boots. So he plays for Stroud United. His school is Barnes Soul Primary. And he's going to be raising money. It's going to be split between Cancer Research UK and the Jack Jeffrey Superhero Trust. And obviously, what Lyle does is impressive. And it's obviously inspired this young man. He did it last year as well. And it just shows it's more of that great community spirit you see at Charlton.
Yeah, I think Lyle's one of those that's definitely, I think, because he has played in the lower leagues and he knows how much that player-fan relationship, how important that is. And obviously he's been quite outspoken about why he's doing this for his auntie. And I think it is inspiring because we've all been touched by cancer in some way, families, friends. And for him to make such a sort of, I guess, bold statement in dyeing his hair pink, I mean, you can imagine the amount of grief he already gets it for being blonde. So to then dye it pink, he's just opening himself up to abuse from other players. But to see that, like, little kids like him is just looking up to this person that's sort of like a beacon of strength in doing something that he really believes in, and the other people that look up to him are now thinking, actually, I want to do this as well, because Lyle's done it, but also because it's such an important charity and an important sort of cause.
Yeah, I just put the link out on our Charlton Live Twitter page if you'd like to support Lewis as well by donating. The money's going to be split, as you said, between Cancer Research UK and the Jack Jefferies Superhero Trust. Now, Grant Jefferies, you'll remember last year, Jack so sadly passed away, and Grant, his father, was yesterday's Pride of the Valley. He got the shirt on the pitch, and Grant said he just wanted to thank everyone who supported him yesterday as well, and in going onto the pitch and all the kind wishes as well. So that's from Grant. So like, if you want to donate to the page I've just put out there, I mean, it's a target of £250. I think we can smash that quite comfortably. So half of it will go to Cancer Research UK, and half of it will go to the Jack Jefferies Superhero Trust. Right, we got a few messages on yesterday's game on the forum. Ferryman says, I thought Conor Gallagher showed too much sportsmanship after being taken out by Bamford. He got up straight away to show he wasn't injured, but had he rolled around in agony a bit, Bamford might have been sent off. That's the only problem. Like, we signed a Chelsea player, but we seem to have signed someone who's not really a Chelsea player. He's
that's why they let him go. Yeah.
But he's English as well, isn't he?
I'm quite happy with that.
Made of sterner stuff than that.
I'm just quite happy with that. I wouldn't say I'd have felt or thought less of him if he rolled around. He just got up and showed Bamford that he's a coward and Gallagher isn't. And they replaced Gallagher fairly quickly afterwards. So Leeds were obviously worried. Either that or he had to change his underpants after Tom Lockyer ran at him.
Yeah. Ray Bates said he's hoping to be up versus Derby with the therapy dogs for the Lyle Taylor collecting for breast cancer awareness. Come and say hello. Hoping to say hi to the children in the Jack Jefferies executive box as well. Yeah, to explain a little bit more. So the Jack Jefferies Superhero Trust, they've got a box here at the Valley that they sort of lend to families with sick children to give them a day out at the football, and obviously that costs a lot of money, so they need money donated to do that. And I'm sure over the course of the season, hopefully we can start donating a bit more to that to keep that sort of that thing going, because they do such good work, and obviously having been through such a horrible situation themselves, that the Jefferies family are trying to make things easier for other families, and I think it's very big of them.
I mean, the club have been amazing in supporting Grant and his wife in giving them the box for a certain amount of games in the season. The only stipulation is that they have to obviously pay for the food and drink and stuff. So, but they do need to raise a lot of money just to support that and keep it going. And I don't know whether anyone's seen the tweet, but the box is available for Wednesday night because the family that were due to come are now not able to come because of illness. I don't know whether the box got whether they got someone else come forward, but if you know anyone, any child that's affected by cancer or any serious illness, get in touch with Grant about the box.
Right, Southwest Addicts on the forum says, I wonder if the Leeds man in the bushes decided to have the week off. A great team performance, huge for the confidence, winning against the league favourites without Lyle Taylor. Now the president says it's all very well having players who will put their body on the line, but we got lucky with Brentford and Leeds, to be honest. 20 to 30% possession will eventually get you sussed out by teams who have someone who can put the ball in the back of the net. If you let in first, then it's a different story entirely, as proved by Birmingham. Not taking anything away from the performance, but you can't go through a season expecting that result all the time with that sort of possession. It's much easier to score a goal with the ball than without it. The president then adds that Tom Lockyer will be a star player. The only thing I will say is we haven't played like that in every game. Obviously, we've played like that against very good footballing teams. And you see Brentford this afternoon, I thought they put on a bit of a display at Brentford, some of the goals they at Barnsley, some of the goals they scored. And Leeds, I mean, we know all about Leeds, but as I say, we've gone to games like Reading where, you know, yeah, for sure it's been quite even in the first half, but then we've started playing our game and teams haven't been able to live with us.
There are only three other teams in the division that have scored more than Leeds, by the way. So they know where the goal is.
Yeah.
Their goal difference is the best in the division. They were top of the league. So the fact that we frustrated and stopped that calibre of side scoring a goal is huge and immense. And there are times when you're not going to be able to play teams off the park. The good teams, you know, the really good teams. And, you know, Leeds are one of them. Whether you like it or not, you've got to suck it up and play the side you're facing. And you're not going to be, you know, we're not in a position where we can field a side that's going to take Leeds on and rip them apart. We're just not in that position at the moment.
Now let's start to look ahead, because I'm slightly worried we're not going to be in a position to field any team who isn't walking wounded. It seems. I mean, after yesterday's blood and guts performance, I mean that takes a lot out of you, and the last thing you need is to play a squad like Swansea, Tom, a Welsh team that therefore you must know all about
everything.
Yeah, but you know they're a team that's up there as well. And I think they dropped points late on against Reading yesterday. But having gone through that 98 minutes or whatever it was yesterday that we've just gone through, I mean, it is going to be a patch them up and send them out job on Wednesday evening.
Yeah, it's going to have to be. We've got strength and depth in the midfield. But aside from that, yeah, we're going to struggle. Purrington's going to have to play. Imagine Lockyer's going to have to play. Up front, we're going to have to pick someone. I don't know if Hemed will be fit by then. But if not, you're looking at Bon and... maybe Anike, possibly Lecco, one of them, two of them are going to have to play because we haven't got anyone else. So I think we could rotate the midfield slightly. I think Otzuma will probably come in. You know, maybe someone like a George Lapsley could come in. I'd be surprised if we saw Jake from the start, but maybe you could even play someone like him if you need to. So, you know, we've got players in that area of the pitch, but the rest of it is going to have to be just get them through that game. And then the game again, just 2.5 days later because of the early kickoff, it's a tough schedule, but as Tel said earlier, that's, you know, that's what Wembley was all about, to get in and play these big teams week after week. So we're going to have to be ready, whoever it is that goes out there.
It's going to be interesting to see what sort of game it is going to be, because I haven't really watched Swansea at all this season yet. I haven't had a chance to watch one of their games on telly, so I don't know too much about them as a side. But I just wonder, having had a game where we were... Leeds had a lot of possession, so at times when you're not with the ball, it's probably a little bit harder to try and run around after it. It would probably be good if, like the Forest game, if we can start on the front foot and keep possession of the ball and try and do that to Swansea rather than have another 90 minutes where we're a little bit chasing shadows at times and trying to put up a resilient sort of defensive performance instead.
Yeah, I don't think Swansea are at the level of Leeds in terms of the way they play football. In fact, I was in the presence of some Swansea fans last week. So they were...
Did you go to the wrong game? Did you?
No, they were in the same place I was last weekend. So,
on holiday.
Yeah. They haven't been as impressed with their setup as you'd think, actually. And they can believe, you know, they don't feel that they're in such a strong position as we all think they are. They do say that they can turn it on, but occasionally they don't. Whether that's that takes Reading into account, I don't know. So I don't think they're as strong as Leeds. Having said that, they're still a good side, still going to be a real tough battle. And we are going to have to rotate, not because of necessarily because it's Swansea, because of the effort that the side put in yesterday. You've got to imagine the likes of Osttoomer or Playfield, probably. Maybe rest Prattley, maybe rest Johnny Williams, put them on the bench, bring in Oshilaja, maybe for Souls. But as Tom said earlier, you know, up front, we haven't got a great deal of choice.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? All these, we're talking about Swansea having a great start to the season. We're 1 point behind them. Talk about Leeds having a great start to the season. We're on the same points as them. Yeah. I only realised that this morning. Right, we've actually come to the end of this evening's Charlton Live. We've run out of time. It always flies by when we're talking about a victory like yesterday, a really dogged performance and one that Charlton fans certainly did enjoy. So thank you for listening to tonight's show. Thank you to all of you who sent stuff in. I hope you've enjoyed it. Thank you, Sue. It's great to see you.
Thank you.
We'll see
really
you again over
yeah.
the course of the season. I'm
Definitely.
Sure Terry.
Thank you.
And Tom, good to see you. See you on Thursday, hopefully. Yep. Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, I've had a pretty good weekend. Not only did we win, Solly got a new cat bowl from the club shop. Got engaged this morning. So it's been a pretty good one. So I've had a great weekend.
Amy on the other end.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah. Don't know what.
She's got a new cat bowl.
Yeah. So there we go. Right. So thank you for listening. I hope you have enjoyed the show. We'll be back on Thursday when we look back at whatever happens against Swansea, and we look ahead to another tough game, which is away at Fulham. So we look forward to seeing you on Thursday. But for tonight, we shall say goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.